What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're in episode 92. This episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that helps the podcast and helps us, you know, keep on going here. With me every weekend, it seems like, is Derek. What's up, Derek?
What's up? How's it going?
You seem rather happy today.
Oh, man. Got that vitamin D.
Yeah.
Sunshine.
You can't. I actually do have vitamin D pills here.
Oh, really?
So you can actually take those. Yeah. A lot of people who live in like areas where it rains a lot or whatever will take vitamin. Yeah. Where you probably should take them.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the wintertime, I typically take them because you need, obviously. And typically in the wintertime, I'm inside more because it's when like a lot of products are coming out. So I'm just doing a lot of work. Hence, like today is like beautiful and I haven't left the house besides taking my trash out.
it's like a freak thing right now.
Yeah,
it's like just past mid February, and it's in the 60s here.
Yeah, global warming, well. Bro. Global warming.
Dude, I'm down.
Leonardo DiCaprio was right. Yeah, no, it's so nice, guys. So if you're like anywhere where it's nice, try to take advantage. Don't be like me and stay inside all day. Like, try to take advantage of the nice weather because it's really really nice out.
Yeah, I got 45 miles in on the bike today.
Oh, nice. I went to the gym yesterday and I did 12, so that's good,
you
I
ran
guess.
12?
No, I biked 12.
12 minutes? Oh, 12 miles. Okay.
12 miles. Come on, man. So, yeah, I'm back on, like, trying to be healthy, so.
Yeah, good.
I know. Even though
a summer bod, right?
It's yeah, I have a trip coming up to the beach in a couple weeks, so I want to not look horrible in a bathing suit. I don't think I'll be, like, beach bod ready, but, you know, trying to. I'm trying to go at least 4 to 5 days a week, so we'll see how that goes. Good. I like to do every day, but sometimes it just doesn't happen that way, but we'll see. So
so
let's get into tech. I know this is not a fitness podcast because I would have no clue what I'm talking about. So we will start off with our reviews this week, and I actually took a look at a really cool product from Intel. It is their Core i3 7350K. And you're thinking, Core i3, why do I care? This is actually the first ever Core i3 that features hyper-threading. So it is a dual-core processor, but with hyper-threading, you have 4 logical CPUs. And the CPU is completely unlocked, and you get all that for $168. So if maybe, you know, you're looking to get into overclocking, or you know, something where you kind of want to learn a little bit, this is the highly inexpensive way to do it. Or if you want to build a machine that's more, you can do a little bit more than just, you know, word processing or something like that.
You could game on this.
Yeah, you could game on this.
Not top level stuff. It's going to hold you back a little bit. You could totally run this.
Yeah, so if
in a budget gaming build.
Yeah, if price is an issue, this is definitely a processor to look at. And it's really cool because, again, it does have hyper-threading. It's fully unlocked, so you can learn the ways of overclocking. You can, you know, mess around in the BIOS and do stuff like that without having to worry about ruining, say, like a $400 chip in, like, the 7700K. And it's cool that Intel has done this. And it's, you know, they did this with their anniversary edition of their Pentium processor in 2014. They made that fully unlocked. It didn't feature hyper-threading, but it was fully unlocked. So people had crazy high overclocks with that, you know.
Really fun chip.
Yeah, so, you know, this is a really cool chip for overclockers to mess around with for a low price. And just as you said, if you want to do a budget gaming build, this is definitely a processor that you can do that. And, of course, you match it up with a Z270 motherboard, or it would actually work on a Z170 as well, you know, and you have a gaming system for a very low cost. And that extra, you know, $150, $200 that you're saving, you can put that towards a better GPU.
And that's going to do you much more in gaming than...
Yeah, or if that extra $200, instead of getting a normal SSD, you go for a PCI Express SSD. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do with that extra money. So it's a really cool processor. You know, cool to see Intel do a i3 that does have hyper-threading and is fully unlocked. 60-watt TDP, you know, so you can push this thing. I think I got it up to 5 gigahertz, I believe.
I imagine you can go quite a bit further.
Yeah, so my cooling setup isn't the most high-end cooling setup, obviously. I'm just using a typical 240 millimeter AIO, so it's not something super, you know, crazy, but I'm sure you can get a lot higher. I've seen people get a lot higher on this. But you know, it's a great little chip. Again, it doesn't run overly hot or anything like that. Just like most of the Kaby Lake chips don't run that hot anyways. So yeah, it's a cool chip, and you can do a lot with it. And again, it's very low cost. So something you might want to look into, you know, if you want to build either something to learn overclocking, or if you want to just build that budget gaming build, this is an awesome little processor. And I had a lot of fun with it. It was cool. So definitely check out my full review. You can get all the details on kind of everything and how it kind of how it stacks up to the other processors. Sadly, I could only test it against other i7s because that's all I have here. Yeah. So obviously it doesn't compete with an i7. It's going to compete closer with an i5, and obviously it's going to beat all of the other i3s out there, because it is the highest end i3 out there currently. So really, really cool. And I had a lot of fun with it. So it's not often you get to have a lot of fun and overclock a little i3 chip. So definitely check out that review. I gave it a recommended award. So if you're looking in that price range, it's one of the processors to get. And that moves us over to DDR4. And Gil sent us pretty much their entire DDR4 line. And we're starting with their super loose DDR4 3000 16GB kit. And this kit looks awesome. That's kind of, you know, pretty much, unless you get up into the super high-end DIMMs, like the Corsair, the special editions and things like that, where all of the memory on it is hand-selected and stuff like that, most DDR4 is pretty much the same. Most of the ICs are from the same manufacturers and everything like that. So when it comes to memory, it's all about looks and features and all that kind of stuff. So this memory looks awesome. You have all-white heat spreader, and then on the top you have a blue light bar, which looks so great in any build, especially if you're doing a white theme build. This is going to look awesome. The light bars cannot be controlled, though. That's one of the downfall of this memory. We're just seeing memory come into the market now where you can do stuff like that.
Isn't it funny that we see that as a downfall? Like, a couple years ago, it would have been like, this is sweet, it's got LEDs.
Now, yeah.
Like, why doesn't it change color?
Exactly. Yeah, so it's only one color LED, and the LEDs do pulse based on the temperature. So the hotter the memory gets, the faster it pulses. So you know, even doing all of the testing, the memory didn't get that hot, so I didn't get to see any crazy pulsing or anything like that. But it is a cool feature, and these do look really good. That light bar is like perfect. Like, it just looks awesome. These did pretty good in overclocking as well. They overclock well. Again, they look really great, and they're perfect to add to any system. We did the Inwin 805 Infinity build last week, and I put these in there because it has that tempered glass side panel, and this just looked awesome in that build. I couldn't have been happier with the way they looked. So these are really great. And of course, Gil offers this in a bunch of different speeds as well as timings and different size kits. I believe you can go all the way up to 32GB kit in these, so a lot of cool stuff, and definitely memory I would recommend if you're looking, you know, looking at Gio or looking at memory that has the light bar. And again, these are white heat spreader, black PCB, so they look pretty good. It would have been really awesome if they were white PCB, but not many people do that. So
yeah,
super, super cool. I'm probably gonna send these to you actually.
Oh, cool.
So when we do that other build, because they're gonna look awesome in pretty much any build.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I also gave that two recommended awards this week. So not often I give a lot of awards out, so two recommended awards in 1 week. So two awesome products. And that moves us to Case Mod Friday. And this week we have another build from the High Resolution Computer Shop, which is actually based in Thailand out of Bangkok. And they do a lot of really awesome builds. Some of them are customer builds, some of them they just do. And this one is done in the massive Hexgear R80, which I love this case. This case is massive. It's one of like the big cases out there. And of course, being made by Hexgear, it's just a beautiful case. And the build is actually really simple. It's a simplified build, at least in my eyes. But I really like the colors that they chose. It's sort of like a red and blue themed. Really kind of does. It's not super flashy. It's not.
It's like a black theme with like red and blue accents.
Yeah, that would be more of it, because all the fittings are black, and all of the blocks or the backs on the graphics cards are all black. So yeah, really
it's
cool.
Like it's two different loops in here, because you got two different color coolant.
Yes, so you have one loop for it. There's a mono block that covers the CPU and VRM. Oh, and then it goes all the way down. It goes all the way down to the PCH. I didn't even see that. That's a big block. That's a big block. And then you have the blue, which covers the both graphics cards. So it's really cool.
Yeah.
And one thing that's cool.
The reservoirs in the front.
Yeah, so the two different reservoirs are actually in the front. And they have it so you can see both the red and the blue, which I think is really cool.
Through the little hex pattern.
Yes. And one of the other really cool things is on the back, they have organized all of the cables in this sort of loop, which I think is also really cool. I like how... Go ahead.
No, you
Like I said, I like how so many modders now are taking time to really, like, put the cables in a really organized way behind the backside of the case. I think it's super cool.
Yeah, on these super showcases.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that we don't see... They just hit them really well.
Yeah, they did a really great job with cable management. This build is so simplified, and they even used the Zotac high bandwidth bridge there, which is one of the like less flashy high bandwidth bridges that you can get.
But still looks really good.
Yeah, it looks awesome. Like I think it perfectly fits this type of build.
It perfectly matches the Rampage 5 board they have in there too.
Yeah, it's just a great. You know, again, this isn't a super. I mean, there's some modding done, but not a whole lot. And it's just a really clean and nice build, and that's why I picked it for this week, because it's awesome. And I love that case. The Hexgear case is just sweet. Huge fan of both the R80 and the R40. So definitely check out this build. And we always say we have a ton of builds on here. Case Mod Friday is one of my favorite sections of the site. You just go in and. You can see, you know, probably, I don't know how many we would have, probably close to, 400 builds in there.
Yeah.
Something like that, something real crazy. So definitely go ahead and check that out. And that brings us to news this week, and being that Ryzen is launching soon, pretty much all of our news is AMD Ryzen news, which is no surprise. The hype train is real.
Yeah, and, I mean, like, literally, we've got, 10 news items here, and there's 3 that aren't Ryzen. Maybe
yeah.
10, so
yeah. So it's but there's a lot of cool stuff, and it's nice that we're getting a lot of information out there.
Yeah.
About Ryzen, because you know, enthusiasts, we want to know. We want leaks, we want all the information before it comes out, blah blah blah. So we have a lot of stuff. So our first news story is about the XFR or extended frequency range. And if you don't know what extended frequency range is, it basically allows the processor to overclock even higher than its set turbo speed. So just like Intel processors, you have your base speed and then you have your turbo or overclock speed or turbo boost speed.
It's with like turbo.
Yes. So this is even more. So it rewards good cooling. So say I have a really high performance AIO, it's going to overclock even past my extended frequency range. And the processors that will do this are the ones with the X. So that's what that X signifies. So like the 1800X, 1700X, 1600X, and 14 and 1200X will all have these extended frequency ranges. And basically, we know now that the extended frequency range will just... They don't tell us what exactly it would be because it's all based on your cooling situation.
Right.
But we do know that now that they will extend past that turbo. So... For the 1800X, it has a base speed of 3.6 gigahertz, and then its turbo speed is 4.0 gigahertz. With extended frequency range, it would go above 4.0 gigahertz. So you're not locked in at that 4 gigahertz. This is a feature that I'm really interested to see. We had talked about this before the podcast on how it's going to differ based on different boards and different VRM setups, you know, because you obviously... If you're overclocking, you're pushing more voltage into that CPU as well. Mm-hmm. And just what type of cooling am I going to need to have XFR even work? You know, like will a high-end Noctua do it for me? Or do I have to go to a high-end AIO? Or, you know, what kind of...
This is going to have some sort of software and algorithm that detects, like, it's actually the like cooling responsiveness, right? So as it's used, it's building like a background information on how well your cooling performs overall. So like what you use probably doesn't matter. It's more like it's sensing what temperatures you're keeping it at during what activities, and then it decides whether it can boost.
Yeah, I think, well, they, you know, AMD had said there's like more sensors in this processor than any other processor that they have built, so they're pretty much measuring everything. Yeah. So that's really cool. I think this is really cool. You know, this is the extended frequency range is one of the things that separates the X version from the non-X version. You know.
Yeah, it's pretty much the only thing, right?
Yeah, so the X versions have a higher TDP. Okay. So if we look at the 1700X, and the base and turbo speeds are different from the X and the non-X.
Oh, it's actually got quite a bit higher TDP.
Yeah, so from 65 watt to 95 watt. 30 watt
increase. That's, yeah.
Yeah, right. So big difference there. So this is going to be interesting to see. I think, you know, when we get to those reviews and we go into it, we'll see how the XFR actually works. Obviously, again, it's going to be based on your cooling, which I think is pretty cool. I mean, obviously, it's a safe way to do it.
Yeah, no, you know? Certainly. And having all those sensors is important, too, because it's not just going to be, like, one part of the processor you want to keep an eye on. You want to track the whole thing. When you're having, you know, essentially an AI do the overclocking, you need all the information.
Yeah.
But kind of going back, like, the one concern that I have with this is that, as we know, as you go to a lower quality, lower price range board, you're going to get lower quality components on that. And even though everything is all digital, like there's still potential for like voltage leakage and dirty power coming through. So I'm concerned that, like, how does Ryzen deal with that? In that, as it, so it's got good cooling, but you're using a lower end board, how does it deal with the fact that it might be getting hit with dirty power, which is gonna potentially, you know, kill your chip, shorten the lifespan, ruin the overclock?
Yeah, you know? I think that's, again, that's something we had talked about that just needs to be tested, right?
Extensively tested.
And I think that it's something that only time's gonna tell how that affects the lifespan of these chips, and if it is a concern, if it's not a concern, you know, we don't know, because there's not even a lot of these chips out in the wild currently, from what I know. So, yeah, it's just something that's just going to take time to figure out, you know?
Yeah, and that's a rather specific type test that I don't see
a lot of people really doing.
Hardly anybody even going for.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Again, the XFR is something new. We're seeing in this processor, and there's a lot of new things in this processor.
It's a really cool idea, but do you think that they've simply, on these parts, just like lowered the boost clock so that they can say the XFR is engaged?
It's definitely a marketing thing, right? Yeah. Like, hey, this chip will go above our boost. This is for you enthusiasts and overclockers and all that. I mean, that's a marketing thing for AMD, obviously.
Yeah, I almost, like, I wouldn't be surprised if, like you're using your computer and all of a sudden you get like a big like achievement thing on your screen where it's XFR engaged.
yeah so
you know, I that's very unlikely, but
yeah, so it's, again, it's something that when these chips are more readily available and people are testing them, we'll see how well XFR works, how often is it engaged, or however, you know, what type of cooling you'll need. We'll see all that when, you know, the time comes.
Yeah,
so yeah. So also talking about Ryzen, the die shot for not only the main Ryzen single core, but the core complex, the CCX, which is a quad core module, both of those die shots have been revealed. So if you want to get into the nitty gritty about Ryzen, definitely check out our article. It's super in depth of kind of what AMD has changed. The big things, I'm not going to cover all of it, but the big things is that each core only has one integer and FPU section. So this is a major change from previous designs where they split an FPU between two integer units. So this basically is showing that AMD is attempting to improve IPC, you know, from a cluster multi-threading model to a stimulus multi-threading based model. So that IPC performance that we're expected to see with Ryzen, that's one of the reasons. Another reason for that, and one of the big reasons, is a part of the core called branch prediction. AMD has told us about this, and this is what they're calling neural net prediction. It's a branch predictor, more or less, and it's to decide what branch of the code, what the branch of code will do before it actually happens. So it's predicting things.
Yeah, essentially it's queuing up it's queuing up its next steps, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, it thinks that this is going to happen, so it queues up its next steps.
Yeah.
Know, this was an interesting thing when we were seeing the presentation at CES that I was thinking, like, what happens to its performance when the branch prediction is wrong?
So
when the neural net fails.
When it does fail or when it's wrong, the CPU will have to spend time cleaning up that missed prediction.
Yeah.
But more often than not, the branch prediction is usually right. It's going to save more time than the time that it will lose. Put it that way. In most situations,
because
I would say
right often enough that
yes,
it makes up for it.
Yeah. So that's going to make up a huge part of this performance gain that we're supposedly supposed to see with Ryzen. So definitely check out this article. You know, if you really want to see how the chip is set up, we have both die shots in there, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is a cool looking die shot. That's for sure.
Yeah. So definitely check that out. And on to benchmarks. Some benchmarks were put online for an Ryzen R7 1700X. This is the $389 processor from AMD, and it was clocked at 3.4 gigahertz with the turbo mode disabled, and it was tested on an entry-level A320 MSI motherboard. So we will see the X370 being the higher end, so again, keep that in mind. But the chip does really well. It beats out the Core i7 7700K in almost all the tests that are in this test group, so that's really, really good.
Also more expensive than the 7700K.
$700K
should be $339.
Okay.
$349, right? Yeah.
But it beats it out by a more considerable amount, at least in a lot of the tests.
Yeah,
and that's without its turbo mode. So, you know, so it's a lot to look at. It's cool to see these, but we won't see true direct comparisons until we really, really, you know, get the retail processors out there.
Yeah, you gotta have the retail processor on the highest end chipset as well.
Yeah,
that's really what matters, because that's what people are gonna buy to get. The people that care about the top end performance, they're gonna buy the best chipset that they can for it.
Yes,
so that does make a difference.
Yeah, so cool to see that. It's it shows that, you know, it's promising. But again, all of these things, we always tell you guys, don't get so hyped on these pre-release benchmarks and things, because we have no clue. And we've seen pre-release benchmarks that show awesome performance, and then when the retail product comes out, it's toned down quite a lot. Or they're just simply wrong. So definitely, I wouldn't say take these with a grain of salt, but I would say just wait till, you know,
probably about a 90% thing.
Yeah, but I would just say wait till reviews are out so you can really see and make the best choice possible when you're thinking about.
Don't buy based off of it, but you can still be excited about the results.
Yes. I'm talking about that. It looks like the reviews of Ryzen and the shipping date, the official shipping date, is February 28th. So on February 28th, AMD will launch the flagship R7 1800X, the R7 1700X, and R7 1700. That's when those will ship, apparently, as well. And then the rest of the models in the lineup will come a little bit later on March 2nd. So it's pretty pretty soon. That's like next week, right?
I'm curious if you can pre-order now. What does ship date mean in this instance?
That's when I believe it will ship out to you.
Okay. No pre-order on Newegg?
Yeah, I think that there are some sites that do a pre-order. They're not U.S.-based that I know of.
Nothing on Amazon either.
Yeah, because what I think will happen, at least for the American retailers,
yeah,
is that on the 28th, you know, Amazon's going to have a stock of these. Newegg's going to have a stock of these. Any American retailer will have a stock, and it will pop up that day at whatever time they deem launch could be. It could be, you know, noon, which would be 9 a.m. Pacific time, whatever time they deem that it is, yeah. Then whenever that stock's gone, but they will ship that day.
I hope that this is not like an instance of the, what was it, 6600K? When that launched, there was nothing available.
Yeah.
I hope well, there was in Europe, but you couldn't get it in the U.S.
Yeah, there was in, yeah.
That's not the reason for no pre-order.
Yeah. But I don't think, because these are not officially announced by AMD. Because just the the name Ryzen and the Ryzen chip, and we know the information about it, that's what is officially known through AMD. Everything else we have, all the chip names and everything, it's all through leaks. So nothing's official.
Okay.
So that's why I don't think anything's listed, at least on the American side. There's Australian and there's Thai and there's Chinese websites where you can, I believe you can pre-order, but I know they're listed there.
Looks like you can get one from Belgium.
Yeah.
If you want to do that.
Yeah.
You're going to pay more, though, if you do try to sneak around and go that route. Usually
yeah.
There's what, like a 5 to 10%? Price hike for the European part?
Yeah, and then you have to pay to ship it to the United States as well. So
I think that in the case of the 6600K, you could get them from the UK, but it was a $340 chip and it would have cost you $450.
Yeah, it was just
you had it here, so yeah.
Yeah. So
coming, give it time.
Yeah, just give it another little bit over a week here and we'll have them. Talking about that, the first LN2 cold Ryzen chip has been spotted, so pictures were leaked on Hardware Battle, which is a very good website to find a lot of people posting things they shouldn't. So this shows an AMD Ryzen chip running on the BioStar Racing X370 GT7 motherboard with some G-Skill DDR4 in there. And it definitely looks like this is a review sample because it comes in the same box that the Bulldozer chips came in, just like this little AMD box. But if we look at the second picture, we can see that it's running, the processor has an LN2 pot on it, and it's running at negative 29 degrees. I believe that would probably be Celsius.
What's interesting is there's no steam or mist or anything coming off that pot.
Yeah, which is very interesting. I didn't really think about that when I was doing this story, but yeah. So, you know, it's very interesting. We'll have to see, you know, the good thing about this picture, I think, is that hopefully on launch day or whenever, we will have highly overclocked information, right?
Yeah.
Because if somebody's doing this right now, you know, this information will be available. You know, they might have posted these pictures. Obviously, they're not posting anything that says Ryzen or anything like that in these pictures, but they're posting that they are doing LN2 overclocking, which means we'll be able to see, you know, how well overclocked, like, what can you do with this chip if you're an extreme overclocker?
Yeah.
So that'd be kind of cool to see on launch day as well.
And we do know that it is on that X370 board.
Yes.
It's probably not a Bulldozer part.
Probably. Yeah, I don't think they're backwards compatible. I'm almost positive.
No,
so.
No.
Yeah.
But I mean, if they've got the shipping box, if all they wanted was attention, this is fairly easy to fake.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm just being a skeptic. Sorry.
Yeah, Derek's a big skeptic on a lot of things. So
most of the time.
Yes. Also, talking about cooling, we talked about a little bit at the end of last week's podcast, but the coolers have been revealed for Ryzen as well. So there'll be three coolers, and a lot of the processors won't ship with these. You will be able to get some processors with these, but most people will probably do their own cooling solution. That's how Intel does it for the most part as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be
the best way to do it.
Yeah. So there'll be a 65-watt cooler, a 95-watt cooler, and a high-performance cooler. The high-performance cooler is based on the Wraith design that we saw previously AMD use. The big update to these coolers is that they're pretty much all black, and they, at least with the Wraith cooler, I'm not sure about the lower ones, but the Wraith cooler, they all have rings around them, but the one on the Wraith cooler, or the high-performance cooler, seems to be an RGB LED ring, which will give a pretty cool effect.
Yes.
And AMD's Raha Kaduri, who's the Radeon guy, he posted a picture showing the cooler. It looks like it does have that RGB ring. He posted it on Twitter. So pretty cool. It looks something to look forward to. You know, if you're not a hardcore overclocker and you just want a cooler, this that high performance cooler looks like it. At least it's gonna look pretty cool in your system.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, and we also have the box art, which we both don't think is that important. But if you want to see what the box art looks like, it's basically a black box with the Ryzen logo in the center, and then and then the information on the side, just like the Intel processors. The box art does, you know, it's box art.
It's something for some people, though, I guess, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is what it's going to look like. You know what to look for at the store now. You know.
Yeah, don't go buying Bulldozer.
Yeah, yeah. If you mess up and buy...
How sad would you be?
Yeah, don't buy the wrong processor. but we have that as well. And then I believe our final, well, relating to Ryzen story, is that AM4 motherboards have surfaced for pre-order. So these are the higher end. Well, some of them are the higher end boards, and these come from Asus, and these were listed on an Australian online store, and these include the Asus Crosshair 6 Hero, which we looked at that board, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, it looks amazing, the Asus Prime X370 Pro, the Asus Prime B350 Plus, and the Asus Prime B350 M-A, and the all these are listed on in Australian dollar, so we converted and made up for the higher Australian price because hardware is much more expensive there. So the Crosshair 6 Hero will be $289, the Prime X370 Pro will be $189, the Prime B350 Plus will be $119, and the Prime B350 M-A will be $99. So it looks like you know, $289 is pretty standard for a high end. Not super high end, but you know, that high performance board we see, some, you know,
I think it's a really good price.
Yeah. For that, the Crosshair 6 Hero will be one of the best AM4 boards at launch, in my opinion.
Presumably.
So, yeah. So for $289, that's really, really good. Yes. You know, and then
considering, you can spend like $500-$600, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, like I have a Z270 board here that's $499 sitting next to me.
Yes, that's another $200 if you
would. Yeah.
that's a much better graphics card.
Yeah. But again, the Crosshair 6 Hero does not have all the features that the Z270 board has on it. I don't think we've seen any... At least I haven't seen any AM4 boards that have like the PLX chip and all that other stuff on it like this one does. That's why it's so expensive.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe I'm sure we will down the line. As you know, a lot of these companies are kind of, this is kind of testing the water. They're pretty sure Ryzen's going to do well, but I think that we'll see. You know, maybe in a couple months, some higher end boards come out when the popularity is, I guess, proven. Maybe.
Yeah.
I
think that they're like everybody else. Like, it sounds great, but
let's see
what actually happens with the market.
Yes. So that's our Ryzen news, which makes up 90% of our news this week. yes. So we'll still talk about AMD. They will be hosting their Caspian events at GDC. They hosted theirs last year, and this was their big event on the sidelines of GDC, which is the Game Developers Conference. And their event will take place, when's the date? February 28th. Apparently the same day that Ryzen is supposed to be announced, so we should see that there. But the biggest thing being at the Game Developers Conference is we're expected, or hopefully we'll see Vega, and we should see a pretty big showing of Vega there. We got to see Vega at CES, you know, so I think this will be the event where they really give us more detail and they show us a lot more about Vega.
It'd be brilliant of them to simply ride the wave of, okay, here's Ryzen, it's shipping to you now. Also, here's our new GPU card.
One more thing.
Just keep it going.
Yeah. I mean, last year they showed Polaris 10 before it was released, And hopefully we'll see Vega in all of its glory, not just in a machine where we don't get to see any card or anything like that.
Yeah, I did play on it, but it played fine, but we didn't see it.
Yeah, we didn't get to see the card or anything like that. So for this, they will have a live stream. They live streamed it last year, so they will have a live stream. So we'll give you all the details on the URL where you can watch it live. I'll probably watch it live. So, sweet. So yes. And also, to counteract that, NVIDIA is holding their GeForce Gaming, GeForce GTX Gaming Celebration the exact same day. And it will be held, again, alongside GDC. And they kind of made it an open event, so I don't know if this is going to be an announcement or anything like that. A lot of people are saying this is where we're going to see the GTX 1080 Ti, the card that has yet to be released. Going through every time, NVIDIA's had a high-end card, they have their Ti version of that high-end card, and for the 1080, we haven't seen it. So this could be where they announce it. A lot of people are thinking that's what it might be. I don't know.
The 1080 Ti is like, okay, that's a cool card, of course. It's not nearly the news of anything AMD's doing, though.
Yeah.
Do you just avoid that event altogether and try to have your own day, or is this, you know what I mean?
I think that, AMD's going to have their event, and they're going to show off Vega or whatever. And then, NVIDIA has this event and is like, here's the Ti, it crushes everything. Like, I think it would steal some of AMD's thunder for sure. I don't know. It's funny that they're doing them both on the same day.
Yeah.
We'll just have to see what happens out of that event. Now, one thing that's interesting is, it kind of coincides with the NVIDIA event, is that MSI has been teasing a mini ITX graphics card. And from all the sources that we've talked to, this is not a mini version of a current GPU. This is a new card. And if you look at the size of it based on the picture, it's a mini ITX based card. So we don't know what it's going to be. But a lot of people are saying NVIDIA finally released their own nano version of maybe like a 1080. That'd be pretty cool. Because that, Zotac has their mini 1080, which we saw at CES. It's still a little bit bigger than an official mini ITX card. But if NVIDIA has their own mini, they're like, you can game in anything. Like, you can be so small, mm-hmm. That type of thing. So, a mini GTX 1080 would be cool. I think the Ti would be a better announcement at that event. But maybe we'll see what this mini card is all about, or what it could be, or we don't know. It could be something completely new. We have no clue.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Yeah. So it looks like we will have some graphics card stuff going on next week. So pretty cool. Talk about gaming and graphics cards. Our last story, which I think this is super cool. I think it's still going on. Let me think if it's still going on. There's 20 hours left, so if you listen to this podcast, it might be over. If it's not over and you want to get in on it, so if you don't know, Humble Bundle is, they bundle a lot of games and different things together, and you kind of pay what you want, or there's certain levels to unlock certain games, and typically you get a really great deal on a lot of different pieces of either software or games or whatever it may be. They announced the Freedom Bundle. And the coolest thing about it is that 100% of the proceeds go towards charity. Wow. And on top of that, the guys from Humble Bumble will match $300,000 of their own money. So it already raised that within like the first day.
Yeah.
And they matched it. So that's awesome.
What? You said it's $600 worth of games?
$600 worth of games, audiobooks, normal books. There's a lot of stuff in it. And you get it for $30.
I'm clicking and yes. I'm going to go buy.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff on here. And it's called the Freedom Bundle because all of the money goes to the ACLU, the Doctors Without Borders, and their International Rescue Committee. So a lot of political stuff going on right now.
Those are really good groups, though, too.
Yeah.
Well, for the most part.
Yeah, so it has a lot to do with the political climate. We obviously don't like to talk about that on the podcast.
No, no. But yeah. Like Doctors Without Borders, like, that's sort of political, but like that's like a group that does things that are really needed.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff in this bundle. I know you like books, and there's audiobooks on here.
Yeah.
There's a couple of different really cool audiobooks. There's a bunch of games, a lot of indie games, a lot of cool stuff on here, and they've raised, holy crap, they've raised $6,086,790, and of course,
sales at $30 a piece.
Yeah, on top of that, they matched the $300,000.
Yeah.
Too. And that doesn't, and this, the thing is that you can pay whatever you want. So that's the thing about Humble Bumble, is like, if you want to pay more than 30, you can do it. To get access to everything, you have to pay 30.
Yeah.
But you can pay whatever you want. So if you go to the bottom of the page, you can see that like somebody paid 3,000, somebody paid 1,500. Oh, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So people can, you can pay what you want. But the cool thing is that, you know, if you don't have a lot of money, but you want to go to, you know, this is a really great cause. If you want to do it, it's only going to cost you 30.
Yeah.
And that unlocks everything in the bundle. Okay. So pretty cool. Yes. So yeah, definitely check it out. Again, 20 hours left. We'll have this podcast up before it ends, but we put it out on social media as well. So it's a really great cost. So $6 million, that's going to do great for those charities.
Definitely. It's over 190,000 bundles.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, so really, really cool. Definitely, if you have $30 to spare, it's going to go to a great cause. So, and you get a lot out of the $30 too. So, yeah, definitely check it out. And that brings us to next week. So we have three products next week. One which I just talked about, that's sitting next to me in the test system, which is the Aorus Z270X Gaming 9 motherboard. This is, if you didn't know, Aorus took over the G1 gaming line. That's what Gigabyte is calling their... It's basically a new brand. They're kind of trying to separate the Gigabyte brand from this. So this is their high-end gaming brand. And it is the highest-end motherboard that they offer for Z270. It has everything that you want. Name something, it has it. It has the PLX chip, so you can do true four-way SLI. It has the highest-end creative chip on there for great audio. It has the killer tri-shot, which means all of the network adapters are killer. So there's two Ethernet adapters plus the Wi-Fi 802.11ac killer Wi-Fi on there, and because it's killer, there's software you can team them all. Like, there's, it's crazy what this thing can do. It has dual U.2, dual M.2, 32 gigabit a second connectors, RGB LEDs all over the place, RGB LED extensions. Like, it has integrated water cooling. If you're doing a custom loop, the VRMs have a block. It's a hybrid block. Yeah, it's made by EK. Like, they pull it up. They pulled out all the stops for this motherboard. That's why it's $500. But it is their highest end, and it's awesome. I've had a lot of fun testing it. I'm in my overclocking phase, so this should be up here in the next couple of days once I'm done with it. Awesome board. It literally has like. Name something you would want on a motherboard, and this has it. Like, it's not missing anything that I've seen so far.
Nice.
And I will. I just finished the review and still sitting in front of me, so that's a testament of how good it is. It's a little dated because this keyboard has been out since 2015, but they sent it to me anyways. It's the Cherry MX Board 6.0. So we know Cherry; they make their own.
I went to the press conference for this.
Yeah, so they make their mechanical key switches, but they also make actual keyboards. And this thing is so nice. It's an all aluminum chassis, of course. Cherry MX red switches, and I'm not even a fan of the red switch, but this keyboard is just super comfortable. It doesn't have it. The only thing, I don't want to go too much into it, so definitely check out my review. But I'm still using it, and it's one of the most comfortable keyboards I've ever used.
It's a typist keyboard.
Yes. I would like to have blue switches if it was, though.
Yeah. Typing?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So that's how they presented it. It's a typist keyboard, not a gamer keyboard.
Yeah, the red switches kind of make it a gaming keyboard, at least in my opinion. But anyways, you'll see my review, which will be tomorrow on Monday, because like I said, I finished the review. It's an awesome keyboard.
Yeah, if I remember right, the biggest thing about it was the super anti-ghosting. You cannot ghost the keyboard.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, it's 100% Nycro, so you can press down the entire keyboard, and it's going to register every key.
Oh, And it's a faster response than any other keyboard because they created some technology for the input.
It has all of like these Cherry exclusive features that you won't find on other keyboards. Like, and it's expensive keyboard. It's $173. Like, it's not cheap, but for it, like, I call this a purist keyboard. Like, there's no extra macros or anything like that. There's no software. There's no crazy RGB LEDs. Like, this is for performance, and it's awesome. Nice. And it's super comfortable. That's the biggest thing. Yeah, I love this keyboard. So definitely stay tuned for my review of that. And then finally, ADATA sent over their A150QC power bank. This is their new portable power bank. You need one of these days if you're doing anything, if you're traveling, if you're...
if you leave the house with your phone.
If you leave your house with your phone, this has... Yeah, you'll need one of these. So ADATA, their new one is actually pretty cool. A lot of these chargers you see out there that are lower cost don't charge your device that fast because it's just batteries inside. There's no type of technology that allows for quick charging. So a lot of new devices have the Qualcomm Quick Charge 3.0 technology. So it's supposedly speeds up charging by almost 80%. So you'll be able to charge your phone super fast. One thing that's really cool about this one, it has a typical USB output, and then it has a Type-C output. So a lot of the new cell phones have a Type-C connection. So you'll be able to use that Type-C cable. And we'll see that over the next couple years becoming the standard for pretty much all devices that use USB. The Type-C will be used. So you have that. So yeah, pretty cool. And it's 10,000 milliwatt amp hour, I believe. Or 10,050 milliwatt amp hour. So that's like 3 charges or something like that for a new iPhone. And most phones, it's like between 2.5 and 3 charges, so that should last you all day. And it's pretty heavy duty too. It's made of all aluminum casing, so you can kind of drop it and scratch it and all that kind of stuff. So very cool. So that's what's coming next week. And I got really excited about all the 3 products. I was like, this is the caffeine's kicking in. I have an energy drink next to me. So that brings us to the end of the podcast. We usually talk about if we did anything cool this week. I did a lot of work and catching up. I did see John Wick 2. Oh, nice. I'm a fan. I was a fan of the first one. Good. And have you seen that yet?
I've not.
That's surprising because you're a movie guy.
Yeah, I mean, John Wick is cool. I'm not like a super big fan.
But you usually go see movies. Like, you see more movies in the theater than most people that I know.
Yeah. So. I did not go see a movie. It was 60 degrees yesterday.
Yeah.
60 degrees today. It's going to be 60 tomorrow. It's going to be 60 Tuesday.
Yeah. Derek's just
I'm not going to be in the movie theater.
I'm that's the smart thing. Sunshine. Yeah. So, I did enjoy the movie. I think that's all I really did. I've been testing this motherboard. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I can't say I did anything. Oh. I mean, I played some.
You got your teeth fixed.
I got new teeth. Yeah.
Yeah. You got it. So as we always say this, I asked Derek last week how his head and his face and his teeth were doing, and your new crowns came in for your teeth, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And they're actually so much nicer than the temporary tooth.
Oh yeah.
Teeth that I had. Yeah.
That's
they make me feel nice. Yeah.
Cool. Well, let's not break them again.
I told the dentist that if I did, I'll do the other side. You know, to make them match.
So, guys, that wraps up our podcast for this week. As always, we will have our full show notes page that has everything that we talked about. So, as we're going through, you can click through and read about it even in more detail than what we talked about. Just as everything. And as always, it is Think Computers, all one word, on your favorite podcasting software or in iTunes or anything like that. You should be able to find us. And all of the episodes are now listed. So, before... For some reason with the podcasting stuff we were using, it only listed 10 and then it listed none. And now we have it fixed, so it lists all of our episodes. So you can go back to the beginning and see how horrible we were on the first podcast.
I think we've come a long way.
Yeah, we've come a long way. We were using better mics and everything like that. So that's where you can find us. So until next week, catch you guys later.
Bye.